Psalm 84, we'll read the last couple of verses, 8 through 12. Psalm 84, 8 through 12. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word and the challenges that you give to us through it. Father, we ask that you would be with Pastor Craig this morning as he teaches, guide and direct in the service. Be with our hearts, that they would be open and receptive to your word, that we would just hear what you have for us today through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, there are a lot of neat truths in Psalm 84. We're going to look at them all, but there's one kind of underlying theme that's going to be our theme this morning, and I think it really reveals the heart of the author of this psalm. One of my favorite places on earth is Lake Powell. In fact, it's coincidentally, the Bird family just had a vacation there, and I used to go there quite a bit when I was younger. Anyway, it became one of my favorite places on earth. Lake Powell to me is like it's like Zion National Park with a lake right in the middle of it, and you don't even have to hike. You can just drive a boat to all the neat places, okay, and it's huge. It's wonderful. It's become one of my favorite places. It has some of the most spectacular sights. There's camping. There's swimming. There's cliff jumping if you're into that. There's water skiing if you're into that. And to top it all off, there is great fishing. I love fishing. The lake, at least last time I was there, had an overabundance of striped bass, and I actually think it still does. So many that there is no limit on how many a person can catch. In fact, when we went there several times back in the 90s, the wildlife division said, we've got so many striped bass in here that if you catch one and you decide you don't want it, don't put it back in the water. Throw it up on shore. Okay? It was incredible how many there were. Well, long before I lived here in Mesquite, it was actually Brad's not here today. Brad Reisinger and I, we had a mutual friend that took us on a few fishing trips to Lake Powell. And I remember the whole week before that trip being so excited that all I could think about was Lake Powell. All I talked about with other people was Lake Powell. All I dreamed about was Lake Powell, except for the night before. I didn't sleep that night, okay? I was just so excited about going to Lake Powell. Needless to emphasize, Lake Powell is one of my very favorite places on earth. I like fishing. I like catching lots of fish, and that's probably why I like it. There's a bumper sticker. You've probably seen it. It says, a bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work. Right? Well, believe it or not, that is actually similar language to what we find in our psalm here this morning. Similar language, similar attitude. Believers, concerning really believers coming together to worship God. In verse 10 of this psalm, the psalmist puts it this way. He says, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. He says, I would rather be, now Dave had a little bit different wording, but mine says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Disneyland used to bill itself, maybe it still does, as the happiest place on earth. Well, our psalmist begs to differ. He begs to differ. To him, the assembling of believers in the one true God, the assembling of believers coming together as we are here this morning, to him, that is the happiest place on earth. Better than Disneyland. Better than Lake Powell. Better than any other place on earth. In fact, the word blessed is used several times in this psalm, and it's referring to happiness. Happiness. Verse 4 says, happy is the man who dwells in God's house. Now, there is no doubt that there is both a spiritual and literal aspect to this psalm. What we read here can pertain to both being part of God's family, universal, or a literal local assembly of God's people. And I believe the latter is what the psalmist had in mind. So that is the perspective that we're going to take this morning. And we're going to see that as opportunity came to meet and worship and pray with other believers in God's house, this fellow, he couldn't contain himself. He couldn't contain himself. It was probably all he could think about. It was probably all he could dream about. And I guess the question that we might ask ourselves, is that us? Do we thoroughly enjoy coming together as God's children, as a unified family in God, to love on one another, to encourage one another, to worship and pray to the God of the universe together? Is that something that is high on our list of priorities? Would we rate it above things like Disneyland and Lake Powell? Because the psalmist did. He did, and in his psalm describes why. And so that we might grow, at least in our craving to worship and pray with other believers like he did, we're going to look at the process that contributes to it. Okay, we're going to look at the process. He actually outlines the process that makes him so happy to come to the house of God. In fact, happiness in God's house is our subject this morning. Psalm 84 describes it. And happiness in God's house, first of all, it commences with a passion to perch. It commences with a passion to perch. And before you snicker at my choice of words about a passion to perch, I want to point out that is actually how the psalmist illustrates it. Look at verse 3. He says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she can lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He's likening the household of God, this place that we come together to love on one another, to encourage one another, to worship and pray, to a place we can come and perch. And he's actually a little bit envious of the ministers, the priests that get to worship and pray in God's house all the time. Because that's what they do. He's thinking it's like they've got the best job in the whole world. And he's kind of envious of them because they get to be there all the time. Now, there have been jobs that I have thought, Now that, that would be one of the best jobs in the whole world. Here's an actual list. These are actual jobs. A vacation columnist. Being paid to take vacations, go on cruises, do excursions, some of the most beautiful places and exciting places on earth, and then just write about it. That would be an awesome job. A dessert taster. Literally getting paid to eat dessert. A luxury bed tester. Well, what do you do for a living? I get incredible sleep. A private island caretaker. A water slide tester. A professional fisherman. Here's this one right here. This might be my favorite. A buffet critic. A buffet critic. I would love that job. What do you do for a living? Well, I eat whatever I want and as much as I want. Now, obviously, there are downsides to many of these. All of them, really. But not so with worship and prayer to the God of the universe. You can do it as much as you want, and you aren't going to gain a single pound. You will never really, if you understand truly what you're doing and who you're doing it to, you'll never get tired of it. All right? Now, obviously, God does not call every single person into full-time ministry, and I don't even believe the psalmist wanted that. He just craved, a deep-hearted craving, a desire for corporate worship and prayer, the kind of corporate and worship prayer that job might afford, all right? The passion to purge represents the desire to be in God's house and especially with God's people. Why? Well, we learn a few things. Just going back to the beginning of this psalm here, verse 1, the first thing that represents the passion to perch is God's house is a place of love. It's a place of love. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." God's house is a place of love and a place where we are loved. All right. Now, obviously, the Jewish temple and the opportunities to gather there is what is in view here specifically in this psalm. But that word lovely in verse 1 is speaking less about its visual beauty and more about its amiability. Okay, being a loving, friendly, welcoming environment. The psalmist longed for that. He longed for that environment because now, like then, in this world, that kind of environment, an environment of encouragement, an environment of love and worship and praying the God of the universe, that is not common. That is not a common thing to find. In this world, people look out for themselves, don't they? Well, God's house, it should be a place of selflessness, a place of love where we are loved and can love. And while the temple is no more, and the church is not a building, but really the believers in Christ, our assembling together as believers should generate, it should generate an environment of love for one another and for our God. The psalmist's body and soul cried out for it. God's house is a place of love, but also God's house is a place of laud. Now, we don't use that word much anymore, but it's an L word that fit with love, and it fits our passage. Look at verse 4. He says, blessed are those who dwell in your house, they will still be praising you. And that's what the word laud means. It means to be to praise, especially in song. All right? Laud is the praising of God for his goodness, especially through song. That is exactly what this psalm is, and exactly what is to be done in the temple as the Jews assembled. There's nothing quite like expressing or sharing about good things in our life with one another, to encourage one another, to share what God, what good things he's doing in our life. For those of you that have had children, how long did it take you after your child was born to call someone and tell someone about it? I'm not sure our daughter was out of the birth canal yet before I was on the fight. It was great news to share. As Janine and I have visited many of you in your homes, I think almost sometimes beyond your control, you have praised God for these spiritual and physical blessings that he has bestowed on you. Almost beyond your control, you share how good God is. Well, as believers gather corporately, it generates an environment of selfless love where we all get to praise our God together for his goodness to us. It's like a good news buffet. What believer in their right mind wouldn't want to be, that truly understood what they had in the Lord, what believer in their right mind wouldn't want to be in a place like that? Now, just by way of application, I want to give you two perspectives of this. Two perspectives. Number one, our congregation, River Valley Bible Church, should be that way. We should be that way. My prayer for us is that the environment here at River Valley Bible Church would be one of biblical love and laud. That it would be a place that we don't even want to leave. We can't hardly wait to come back. Our congregation should be with us. But the other perspective is our craving should be this way. You see, there's a catch-22 here in this situation, and that is, in order to generate an environment like that here at River Valley Bible Church, you and I individually need to be that. We personally need to have a passion for our Lord and to be with his people. The psalmist could hardly contain his. Let me read you a couple passages. This is from Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And encourage, coming together as we are, to love on one another, to encourage one another, to worship and pray to the God of the universe whom we have access to. Happiness in God's house, it commences with a passion to perch. Happiness in God's house, secondly, it continues with the power to proceed. It continues with the power to proceed. There's a common saying that states, where there's a will, there's a way. You've heard that? Well, in a biblical sense, the more accurate statement pertaining to believers is If we desire God's will, He can make a way. If we desire God's will, He can make a way. Years ago, Janine and I were actually in Ketchikan, Alaska. And it was one of the shorter stops on a cruise that we took. And we were just there actually for one Sunday morning. So before we ever left home, I found on the internet a local church up there that we could attend. It was something that we really wanted to do. We don't get to do that very often, so we did it. And we ended up taking a bus from the ship about 5 miles, and we were dropped off in the rain a few blocks from the church. But as we walked through the rain and got up there, we noticed there isn't a car in the parking lot anywhere. Now, I checked all the service times, everything. I know I didn't make this big of a mistake. Anyway, I got there, no cars in the parking lot. It's raining. We go up to the doors. They're both locked. All right, what are we going to do now? And anyway, within a minute, a car pulls into the parking lot. It's one of the elders of the church. And he says, oh, there's no church here today. We're actually having our annual church picnic up in the mountains, but I can take you to another church here in town, and that way you can worship and enjoy. The problem was, it was now further out, which was really going to put us in a bind getting back to the ship. We worried. We went there. He took us. We worshiped. It was a great service and worried, okay, now we got to catch a bus. And we're just getting ready to leave. And a woman comes up to us and she says, can I give you a ride back to the ship? Encouraging us, loving on us. Yeah. We made it with time to spare. My point is, if we desire God's will, He can make a way. We didn't know how that was going to end, but He made a way. And it is always His will that we worship and pray. It is. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay? For you. Now, sometimes we can't do it corporately. Sometimes our physical situation does not permit it. Perhaps that is even why our psalmist so longed for it. But if we have a passion for it, God can make a way. He can provide the power to proceed. And we actually see that in verses 5 through 7. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. The power to proceed begins when dependence is recognized. It says, happy is the man who recognizes that his strength comes from the Lord. He's happy because he understands it doesn't depend on him, okay? It depends on the Lord's strength. So dependence is recognized, and then desire is realized. His heart, it says, is set on pilgrimage. That is, making the journey to worship and pray to God corporately at the temple. That was his desire. Remember, he longed for it. He craved it. He cried out for it. And for those who realize that this is God's desire for us as well, direction is rendered. Verse 6 and verse 7 talk about passing through the valley of Baca. Now, for the psalmist, that apparently was the only way that he could get from wherever it was he lived to the temple in Jerusalem. And that particular valley was a very, very desolate path. However, the word Baca actually means weeping. And it was named such because when it does rain, it becomes a water wonderland. What is normally a dry, dangerous desert became a water wonderland. The phrase, "they make it a spring," means that it was named Baca because it actually weeps like a spring when it rains. The Virgin River Gorge, right up the highway from us, I-15, is a very desolate area, isn't it? Very desolate. Could you imagine walking through that before there were cars? It'd not only be dangerous, but it'd be a long trek, wouldn't it? Have you ever been there when it's rained? It becomes a water wonderland. Waterfalls all over the place. Water pooling in every depression. It becomes a water wonderland. Well, that is exactly what we're reading here in verse 6. Because he desired to worship and pray to God at the temple with other believers, God, in the middle of a desert, by his strength, caused it to rain and make pools of water to sustain them as they journeyed. Verse 7 says they go from strength to strength, really from pool to pool. Dependence is recognized, desire is realized, direction is rendered, and then destination is reached. The end of verse 7 says, each one appears before God in Zion. We desire God's will. He can make a way. Zion, of course, is another name for the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, where at that time God's presence dwelt. But for every believer today, for every believer that desires to worship and pray to God corporately, God can make a way. And therefore, happy is that man. And closing this point out, I'm just going to state the obvious here. I'm going to point out the elephant in the room. The biggest reason believers do not worship and pray corporately and consistently is they don't desire it, or they desire other things more. Now, the weirdest thing about making a statement like that here today is you're not the ones that need to hear it. You know, I'm kind of, you've heard the term, preaching to the choir here. But truly, when a believer, a person who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation that he offers and gives upon that faith, the fact that we are now part of God's family, that we are now heaven-bound, guaranteed, because Christ paid the price. When we realize that, the gravity of that transaction that has taken place and what we have as a result, why would we not want to come together like this and celebrate it together? Why would we not? Isaiah 43 verses 15, 16, and 19. And I'm not going to complete the thought here, but I just want to give you what it says. It says, it is God speaking. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. Behold, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's closely connected to what we're talking about here this morning. God, when we desire God's will, he can make a way. Happiness in God's house commences with a passion to perch, continues with the power to proceed, and then lastly this morning, it culminates with the privilege to pray. It culminates with the privilege to pray. Very early on in our building project, I was sharing with someone about the amount of money we yet needed. I was telling them about what's been happening, the exciting things, and about how much money we needed to build our building. And at that time, this was about a year and a half ago, it was quite a bit. So they offered a suggestion. They told me of a very wealthy person who was not a believer. And they said, you know, this guy in the past has given very large sums of money to charitable organizations just simply for a tax write-off. And they suggested that I go appeal to him and basically ask him for the money that we needed. Now, I'd be lying to you if I said it didn't sound tempting. However, I didn't pursue it. And the reason I didn't pursue that is because we already had someone we could ask for the money. We could ask the owner of everything. The owner of everything. We could ask him and allow him to decide how best to provide for us. And he has. To see what has happened in the past year and a half, he has. He has, and it's been through a body of believers that come together to worship and pray to the God of the universe, because we have that privilege. We have that privilege. Here's my point in this story. Sometimes asking God is the last thing we do. It's the last thing we do. We fail to utilize the privilege that we have in prayer. We fail to realize whom we have access to and what he can provide. In Matthew 18:19, Jesus said, "And I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." That's our God. That's our dad. The psalmist utilized this privilege. Look at verses 8 and 9. He says, "O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed." Now, whether in spirit or actually there with the congregation, the psalmist prayed because he utilized that privilege. He appealed to the self-existent God that owns and created everything, who had provided perfectly in the past to provide now. In fact, his request really is for God's favor to king and country. But the psalmist utilized the privilege. The psalmist understood the privilege. Verse 10, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." In short, he is basically saying that there is no place on earth and nothing else that I would rather be doing than to come to the house of God to worship and pray with other brothers and sisters. He understood that is the best use of his time. That is the best use of his time. Coming together, praying, worshiping, the best use of his time. He says, one day in the courts of God is better than a thousand anywhere else. Worship and prayer was the best use of his time, and he said it's the best place he could be. He says, "I'd rather be the guy who stands by the door of the congregation than participate inside the tents of those who do not know God." And this, by the way, this is not just a figure of speech. Okay, he is referring to what was considered the lowliest position in the ministries at the temple, the doorkeeper. He'd rather be the guy keeping the door at the temple than participate in anything else outside of the temple. It was the best place he could be, and God is the best source of all our needs. He realized that. Verse 11 says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Simply, God answers prayer. He answers prayer. God is our sun. He provides illumination and wisdom for guidance when we ask for it. He is our shield. He provides protection when we ask for it. He is our Savior. He provides grace when we ask for it. In fact, for the one who has a passion for God, for that one who walks uprightly seeking God's will, God will not hold from him anything that will be good for him. The psalmist understood the privilege of prayer, in particular, corporate prayer. And that is why he so desired to be with God's people in God's house. Matthew 18 again, Jesus said, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. He's here. He's here right now, listening to us. His Spirit is teaching us. We can pray. We can worship together, glorify His name together, making corporate worship and prayer the absolute best place we can be. Now, I have been on fishing trips that were not so productive nor fun. In fact, I remember one fishing trip up to Minersville, Utah, where it was so cold and so windy that I was just in absolute misery the entire time, and we didn't catch a single fish. I just wanted to be home. I just wanted to be home, and that perhaps is one reason I like Lake Powell. It's just beautiful there, it's warm there, and more fish than a place that has a lot of fish, all right? I had a passion for Lake Powell because I trusted it would be productive. I trusted it would be joyful. Well, that is exactly why the psalmist had a passion for corporate worship and prayer. He loved God. He knew that he could trust God to provide a way. He knew that he could trust God to answer prayer. He knew that participating in corporate worship and prayer would be the absolute place, the best place he could be. And so everything that we've looked at today is summed up in the psalmist's closing benediction, verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Happiness in God's house comes when we trust in Him. Faith in Him generates a passion in our hearts. Faith in Him generates the power to proceed. Faith in Him generates the provision that comes through prayer. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And happy is that man. Let's pray. Father in heaven, my prayer this morning is a simple one. My prayer, Lord, is that we individually would have that passion for both private, corporate worship and prayer. That we, Lord, would so be energized by encouraging our brothers and sisters, by loving on our brothers and sisters, that we not only want to We don't want to leave here Sunday morning, but we just can't wait to get back. Lord, please grow that passion in each one of us, but also that River Valley Bible Church, this fellowship that you have established here in Mesquite, Nevada, this little group of believers. I pray, Father, that it would be a place of love, a place of encouragement, an environment that when people come here, Lord, they're inspired to worship you and pray to you. I pray, Lord, that you would nurture that passion in each one of us and in this fellowship, that we might be a light to you in this community, that we could reach out to others that are in our path, that we could share with them your love. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.